welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Michael.
There's a large body of data that has addressed reducing the risk of TIAs and stroke. Today we're going to look at a particular article published in the New England Journal of Medicine looking at the drug pioglitazone. Two classes of oral hypoglycemic drugs improve insulin action, that is, as their primary effect, the bioguanides and thiazolidine diones.
Actos.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that, right? Two of the drugs from this class, rosiglitazone, marketed under the trade name of Avandia, and pioglitazone, under the trade name of Actos, are available in the United States. Now, it is worth noting that the Europeans suspended the use of these drugs over concerns that the overall risk of these two drugs exceeded their benefits. Nonetheless, the class of drugs have several potential side effects, which make them less appealing, at least as initial or secondary step therapy. However, researchers, perhaps with backing, a little Michael Wilkes cynicism here, but perhaps with backing from manufacturers, hope that because insulin resistance is common in patients with stroke or TIAs, perhaps pioglitazone might improve vascular outcomes. So they did a study. It was published in the New England Journal. It was published this year, 2016. It starts on page 1321. It asks the clinical question, in patients with evidence of insulin resistance and a recent stroke or TIA, does pioglitazone improve outcomes? What did they find, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I have this little piece of folk art from Georgia that is this kind of rusted piece of metal. It has a picture of a little devil and a little angel, and it says, a little good, a little bad, like most people. And, you know, drugs are like that, too. A little good, a little bad, like most medications. And that's kind of the story here of the pioglitazone. And so, essentially, insulin resistance is common in patients who've had a stroke or a TIA. So these researchers identified folks who'd had a recent stroke or TIA. They were all 40 and older, and they used the fasting glucose and insulin level to calculate whether they were had insulin resistance, but they didn't have diabetes, no frank diabetes. So a total of almost 4,000 patients at 200 sites were randomized to get either pioglitazone, which is Actos, or placebo. They started at 15 milligrams a day. They titrated them up to 45 milligrams a day if tolerated. It was a pretty typical group, maybe a little younger than the average stroke patient, 63 years, two-thirds male, but 88% had a history of stroke. After 5 years, they did have a lower likelihood of a composite outcome of stroke or MI, so the number needed to treat was 36. So for every 36 people you treated, you prevented one stroke or MI. There was also a lower risk of progression to diabetes, but, you know, you give somebody a medication that lowers blood sugar, you're going to reduce. I mean, yeah, okay, so big deal. Most of the benefit, if you look closely, was in non-fatal stroke or MI, and that was the 2.2% absolute reduction, but only a very small, non-significant reduction in fatal events. No difference in all-cause mortality, and there were some harms. So like I said, some good, some bad. The harms in the Actos group included an increased risk of really significant weight gain, at least 25 pounds. Number needed to treat to harm was 14. Edema, which was 9. Number needed to harm, 9. Shortness of breath, number needed to harm at 25. And fracture, number needed to harm at 53. So patients with a recent stroke who have insulin resistance, not everybody, insulin resistance, putting them on pioglitazone or Actos does reduce the risk of non-fatal MI or stroke with an NNT of about 40, 35 or 40 over 5 years. But you have some significant harms, weight gain, edema, and increased fracture risk. So good, bad. I doesn't seem like a great trade-off to me, actually.
No, I'm just thinking here what I would do in that situation. You got to think of how you want the end of your life to go here. But as you suggested, 25 pounds with a number needed to harm of 14 means it's mighty common. And you know, that's for 25 pounds. You know, perhaps if they looked at 10 pounds, the number needed to harm, it would be 5 or something. I don't know. I think I would just feel lousy if I put on 10 pounds.
Yeah. Well, 10, 25.
I mean, it's 13,
14 kilos. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So, I think this is good information to have. I think it was billed as a very positive study, you know, by the manufacturer and by the authors. But, you know, I think it's always important to dig into the outcomes. Was it, what kind of events? Was it fatal or non-fatal? You know, nobody wants to have a non-fatal MI or another stroke, obviously. But, you know, these side effects were fairly common and not trivial.
Wearing my journalism hat for a second, one of the problems is that it's really easy to spin these studies to journalists when the numbers are complicated and it's daunting. I think that when it's presented like this and the number needed to treat and the number needed to harm are so clear, it really is an enormous advantage to those that are trying to do a good job and provide a balanced report.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, thanks. We will talk with you again next week.
Sounds perfect.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.